back. WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in Carroll County, giving away Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. We're at Greenmount Station. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, letting ourselves play, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. And you can tell John and Lisa I'm packing my bags all weekend. I don't think I'm going to have a truck. Maybe just a trunk of the car at this point. Although my trunk's filled with a bunch of lottery stuff I'm going to be giving away up here. I'm going to have some friends come by. Chris is going to be here. Brandon Tomlinson's going to be here talking about his music in Hampstead. We had Katie Zafaris set up, but she is going to Skype in from Cary, North Carolina. And Carl Delmont. You're the biggest celebrity I know up here. The owner of the Harrisburg Heat, and of course, Fremont Mortgage, and a longtime sponsor of ours and resident up here in Hampstead. Soccer, and you're talking about soccer and your commitment to Harrisburg, a commitment to the indoor game, and how did the season go this year and getting back on tierra firma? I mean, I went to opening day the other day. The Orioles can't sell out their games, right? Mm-hmm. The Ravens have had trouble. They're begging me to buy tickets, even though I gave my tickets up because they threw me out. So selling soccer tickets, selling the sport of soccer, that's the one thing I don't think you have to do as much, especially with young people. You don't have to sell kids on soccer. Kids know all about soccer. Kids love soccer. I think people our age, yeah, it was our age people that were like, oh, do they score? Do they have ties and all that? I think people under the age of 30 in this country, especially females, mm-hmm. have all been exposed to soccer.
Yeah, I mean, it's growing. It's the number three sport, 12 to 25 demo based on, I think, Forbes and ESPN did different separate surveys and came in. But for the indoor game, again, Kevin Healy's doing an amazing job talking to youth groups, different clubs, doing different things. I mean, our home opener, we pretty much sold out. Now, you know, we don't see as many as the Ravens, obviously. We only see about 2,500. But, you know, if you
play in Farm Show still?
Yeah, we just moved to the Equine Arena in the Farm Show. So it's a little bit smaller, but it's nicer. It's all contained. It's a big hit with the fans. Everyone loved it.
I love the old barn.
Yeah,
I did.
The big one was nice. It's just it was a sieve. People could sneak in, and it was just, even if we had a great night, it still looked empty because it's so big. This one, everything's contained because sessions are inside, bathrooms are inside.
What's the league model on that? Because, I mean, the Blast moving into Towson obviously is a smaller facility, and I haven't talked to Ed about mm-hmm. his happiness or unhappy. I don't know. Usually when Ed's unhappy, the world knows, but yeah. I haven't talked to him about it.
But he just renewed for 5 years. He's happy.
But that was a move. That was a big move for that. For any franchise,
it was,
to go to a smaller revenue model.
You know, I think the arena, the Towson Arena, is great for them. It puts them right in the heart of the county. I know some people who live in Anne Arundel County where didn't like it too much, but you know, for us, you know, the beauty of what we have is that every game we had different fans, whereas most professional sports you have so many season tickets, the same people every single time, right?
Right.
So hitting
you're
that,
exposing.
Yeah. Your, so right. A lot of our sponsors seem to really enjoy that part of it, but you know, we have a lot of people who don't particularly like outdoor soccer, but then they come to an indoor game and they're like, wow, this is really fast paced.
My dad was that guy. My dad loved the Blast, but would have had no use for what was our team that were called the Bays, right? Back in the day, they played 5 minutes. My dad took me to one soccer game, Memorial Stadium. I guess it had to have been 72-34, right?
They played 70s. Yep.
They played 5 minutes. My dad took me to a game. It just wasn't my dad's game.
Yeah.
You know, my dad grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania in the 20s. He played basketball and boxed and played baseball. And my dad was never into horse racing, strangely enough. So generationally, 100 years later, I mean, soccer all my lifetime. But people, look, I went to the World Cup in 06. You mm-hmm. and I have, you know, been at this a long, long time. This particular World Cup this year and the bags of illicit money that were involved in doing this and the dirtiness of it and the dirtiness of Russia and clearly now what, you know, they use that money to be bombing their neighbors and raping and marauding and doing all the things they're doing right now. But soccer trying to come clean after the raids in Zurich a couple of years ago, we're involved in this as a community, Baltimore, Washington. I mean, sort of a dream of mine in 2006 would be that there would be two teams would play and qualify and play here 4 years from now. But we're getting close to this thing here, and I don't know whether we're going to get a bid or not, but every smart soccer person I talk to, and that's any number of people, believe that teams could base here even if we don't get a game here. That we could have the French team or the Spanish, won't have the Italian team, but
that's not nice.
No, you know, but they missed this cup. They could still make the next one, but
Yeah, I talked to Terry about a week ago, and just always check in to see how the things are going. And right now, you know, he still has a lot of optimism that it could be a joint DC-Baltimore thing.
I felt like it was always going to have to be that if we were going to
win. Yeah, but I mean, look, we've got one of the best. When you look at television ratings and viewership, Baltimore just crushes it when it comes to soccer. So we've got a great soccer background. You know, my club, Baltimore Celtics, 6 national championships. Baltimore Bays, another great club, has a lot of national championships. I mean, soccer is really embedded in this community, and I think it's just a great market for it. Plus, it's so good for the city and taxes and revenue and restaurants and hotels and everything else out there. So let's hope. I mean, you know, again, I've had Terry on my show. We've talked about it. Like I said, I check in every now and then to see how things are going. But, you know, it's politics. We'll see what happens. You know, some other city that's a little more better connected or whatever else might come in the last minute and take that last swipe. But I'm looking forward to it. You know, even like the U.S. national team, they had a friendly against Uzbekistan the other night. Facebook, there were so many people from this area, young kids.
Uzbekistan was not like a credible outfit.
Nah. 9-0 would tell you that. But I tell you what, you know, to see how many young kids going up there and, you know, just cheering on a national team and doing those things, it's absolutely amazing.
Well, also having a kid from Harrisburg under your, who's the best player in our country, from our country.
You know what's
sure.
crazy? His mom wished me happy birthday. That was pretty cool. So
now, has he been involved in it? Does he come home and do stuff like that?
He comes home, but their season sort of doesn't really.
Do you know how many games I called on the radio with the late great Ted Patterson, where his father was kicking the ball around for the Heat? Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he was in the Heat locker room. Then his dad became a coach in Detroit. He was in that locker room. You know, I know players that used to teach him stuff. And you know, when they were younger players.
Now, you want a wild story? The man who saved my wife's life, mm-hmm. his brother is an athletic trainer in the soccer world, and he was at Dortmund. When he was at Dortmund.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he went there when he was like 16, so his dad had to leave and go over there with him to sort of be like his mentor.
So I'm once removed from like the guy who's like working his legs out before he goes out and, you know, plays in a game against Bayern Munich or whatever back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, 15 years ago, if an American made Premier League or Championship League, we were like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But they never they played a little bit. You know.
Well, there was always the question as to, right, Landon Donovan's the greatest example of, should he be playing in San Jose here, like, or LA, or the Washington, DC United, or like the things that were going to grow the sport in this country, whether it was Beckham coming over to play or whether it was, you know, old Latin players at the end, mm-hmm. Colombian players at the end of the end of Valderrama was playing.
When I was a kid, I mean, it was an all-star team. You had Beckenbauer, Pelé, Shep Messing, Giorgio Canaglia. I mean, who else was
well,
on
that was the only model that the MLS knew 20 years ago.
Yeah, but
now it's bigger. It's different than that.
It has. It's grown a ton. And if you look at the history of MLS and professional indoor soccer. Professional indoor soccer players are making crazy money back like in the late 80s, early 90s.
Stan Stamenkovic was making a couple hundred grand, yeah.
A couple are making a million, right?
Jungle, yeah, I believe.
Maybe he might have been the one. But then all of a sudden MLS started coming in. It really didn't take off, but players started going there because they paid more than most made in the league. And then, you know, indoor professional soccer.
Well, there was a period of time where you played both.
Yeah.
You know, indoor in the winter and outdoor in the summer, and that's
we still have guys doing that with the, you know, proliferation of all different leagues, USL and then MLS and USL 2, 3. They've changed all the names now, but so a lot of our guys in the off season sign with those. So it's pretty cool. But you know, getting back to what you said earlier, our season visas. The whole league had visa issues, so a lot of visa players didn't make it. So we were counting on 4 players and didn't make it. We had some injuries with veterans. And the good news for us is that our rookies, normally it takes about 3 years for a rookie to really understand and be good at the game. Our rookies were basically trial by fire. I mean, they were running, you know, 2s and 3s and shifts from the get-go. So they were playing the whole entire game, getting a ton of experience.
What percentage of your guys had played enough indoor before they come to the game? Because I remember back in the day with the Blast, you know, most of the Desmond Armstrongs and most of the players, I mean, Stamenkovic or Stankovic, all those guys played outdoor. Mm-hmm. That indoor was a bastardized game or a game they were unfamiliar with or a game that wasn't their first choice, that when they were playing it, using the walls was something that some guys could really thrive on because they'd never done it before.
And some can't pick it up. It's a little bit different game as far as the strategy and everything else. It's fast-paced. You see a lot of Europeans and South Americans that really, really proficient at futsal, a different type of indoor game without walls, they can adapt.
How's Dennison?
Pretty quick. I haven't spoken to Dennison in a while, but I think he's doing well. He's down at the club.
He's the futsal king, right?
He is. He does a lot of stuff down in Anne Arundel County, does a lot of things down there. You know, he was our coach for the first 2 years, and then brought in Pat Healy, and you know, been working with him ever since. And yeah, I've known the Healy's forever. Just Pat wasn't available, so when I bought the team, I was looking around, and you know, my knowledge came from the Blast. So you know, Dennison was a star for the Blast, and he was retired. And I'm like, you know what? You know the game. Come on, let's build something cool.
You know, it's amazing that part of him, and I've watched soccer World Cup games with him back in 2010. We've done things together. We're the same height, so we appreciate that. Actually, I'm taller, so take that, Dennison. But the thing about him that impresses me so much is he's the one human I know, and maybe the other one would be, I remember talking to Michael Pavanka, the mm-hmm. Capitals player, mm-hmm. didn't speak a word of English. He was Czech, like didn't speak any English at all. And when I met Dennison, he spoke no English at all. Mm-hmm. Like I remember he looked like a boy. He was a little guy and he had come from Brazil and he was trying so hard to, his English is better than mine. It's more Highland Town than mine. He's got a Baltimore accent. So that's the amazing part, because I don't think I could go to Brazil and in 5 years pick up Brazilian. You're Portuguese. Yeah, what I'm saying.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you were immersed in it, you probably would. You know, I remember when I met William Vanzella, he first came here, he didn't speak, he might have known five words in English. And, you know, I brought him out, helped me run a camp with Neto. We did some things and became friends. And every few weeks, his English got better. And now he's beyond fluent.
That's the beauty of soccer, though, right? Communicating with different people in different ways. I mean, it's an international game.
Watching MASL teams who have, like, let's say the Heat, for instance. We have Brazilians. We have French. We have, I'm trying to think of other ones, Hispanic. And how they communicate on the field. It's a series of, like, whistles and noises and finger snaps and everything else. But they just, hey. They're just little things like that. And that's how they communicate. And they know they're open. And it's amazing to watch, especially at that fast pace. But, you know, I just love it. And right now is a great time. You know, unfortunately, the Heat season's over. The MASL's in the playoffs, so that's still going. I'm watching that. Tryout season for youth clubs is up. I'm really excited about that. In fact, I've become, through soccer, really good friends with Christy Rampone. She's coming in Monday. She's actually going to run my team sessions. And she's been, I hired her for Baltimore Celtic because of the whole mental side of, like, no one's really talking about kids about this mental stuff. And then I brought her in, and literally, like, 2 months later, Simone Biles says, hey, I've got to drop out of the Olympics. Naomi Osaka says, I have to drop out of the tennis classic. Then Kristen Press says, she has to take a few months off. We saw the Stanford goalie, unfortunately, took her life. There's just so much pressure on kids today. And I think, you know, we're really proud of what we're trying to do at Baltimore Celtic. We just got named top 100 girls club in the country. We're one of only two clubs in the state with the prestigious Girls Academy League. It's just run by former...
How many kids there?
The Celtic?
Yeah.
About 800.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of parents.
Yeah, it is. And when I took over the club, it was, I think we were 12 teams. Now we're like 50. So we're growing. We've got some, you know, we've got a good pathway with the academy stuff. And then, you know, we have teams that are just, you know, a little bit newer. But I love it. And I love bringing in, you know, we have great coaches on staff, you know, great administrative and leadership. And like I said, to bring Christy in, she and I talk quite often and just share, you know, different things about the game. And
what's an art form coaching girls? Different than boys, right? I've only ever been a boy, so I don't, you know, coaching girls. The thought of it and how just different it would be than coaching boys.
It is. It's way different. And it's funny. I've coaching three teams now, but I have one that's the younger girls. They're born in 2009, so 6th and 7th grade. And my co-head coach is, he's only coached, he has a daughter, but he's only coached boys. And it's a weird dynamic. Sometimes I had to pull him aside. So like, no, just let it go. Or, you know, this one, I know it wasn't good, but just praise her anyway. Because a lot of times with girls, there's a friend of mine who lives out here, Vince, he's coached softball forever. And he gave me this pearl of wisdom that stuck with me to this day. Boys play hard to feel good. Girls have to feel good to play hard.
Okay.
Yeah, and trust me, it's so true. But yeah, but I love it. It's my therapy. I love being out in the field, coaching the girls, doing things like you said. I got a few players that former players that are here. I'm sure if you asked them, they would say mostly nice things. But you know, I look forward to coaching. I got a game tomorrow at my 09s, and you know, then we have Easter. But it's a busy time for, you know, soccer and everything else. So it's you know.
Well, it's busy because it wasn't for a while. I have a lot of friends who have children that are of whatever age, whether they're 8 or whether they're 18. If they're involved in sports at all and mm-hmm. missed it 2 years ago and they're still in, they're very passionate about it.
Yeah.
And the parents, everybody I know, I don't go to Oreo games with friends or have to... their kids are playing sports now, and and they know it's such a limited time you have with your kids to be able to do this, right? Whether they're good enough to make a high school team or have a, you know, good enough to travel and get a scholarship and all of those things that some parents dream about. If that's the pathway you were on 26 months ago when the plague came down, and your kid's now 16 when they were 14, or 14 when they were 12, and they missed it and loved it, there is something about it. Sports was taken away from every one of these kids. Yep. It was never taken away from us unless we broke a leg or hurt ourselves or whatever for a season, but it was taken away universally from all of them, right?
Yeah, what we did, we have a thing called TechniFootball as an app that we gave to the families for free, and it showed them different things they could do to keep their touches and keep their foot on the ball and everything else. And then we would do Zoom to keep the bonding and stuff going. But, you know, to your point, my oldest, she's about to graduate college, so her college playing career, soccer career, has come to an end.
I can't believe that.
She'll be playing U23s.
I remember where she picked her college.
Yeah.
Sitting in here.
Yeah.
She's done now.
She's done about a month. Yeah, she'll be done. And, you know, she'll do U23s me this summer, and then I'm not sure. Maybe she'll coach, you know, get in the real world, get a job. She's got some job offer she's looking at, but it does go quickly. And, you know, it's bittersweet, like you said. I mean, as a parent, you have to mentally prepare yourself for the fact that, okay, all those long rides.
I remember her and her girlfriend just sitting in here watching the show one night.
Yeah. So my youngest is a sophomore in college, and, you know, she stopped playing just to focus on her grades. So, you know, that hurt a little bit, but it was her
decision.
That's
why you grew a beard. Both your kids are in college, and you're done.
Yeah, that's it.
It's all over with, man.
I should be protesting something. I'll figure something to protest. That's what the beard's for. But honestly, like I said, it was just I got sick and didn't shave and woke up and kind of liked it. So I'm debating to keep it or not.
My hair story is that, like, it was long when COVID began because I had had a cut before the Super Bowl. So it was like 7 or 8 weeks. I was due.
Mm-hmm.
Plague happens, and it went over the top quickly. And I grew the beard first. I had a COVID beard. You know, when Trump told me it was going to be 14 days, I was like, 14-day beard. Then it was June, and I looked like a monster. And I finally decided to shave my face. And Jen said, you got to get some product for that hair. Do something with it. And she gave me something, made me look like young Einstein. I got here. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get some sticky, some hair wax or whatever. And I started using hair. And then I bought enough hair wax that I got to keep it because I still have 2 bottles of hair wax. So I'm keeping my hair long. I'm getting it cut tomorrow.
All right.
So this is the first.
Short,
like,
or just the trim?
Well, you know, Paul Lamanti was the guitar player from my band, from Walk-In's Welcome and Ed Block Courage Awards, that. One of my life friends. He trimmed it. He took, like, the split ends off about 2 months ago, and it's just getting unruly now. I mean, it's not, there's no style to it anymore.
Yeah, I just trimmed the sides.
I look
the
like Keith Moon, man. You know?
Sides down, put beard oil and conditioner in, trying to get it going, but I'm debating if I'm going to keep it or shave it, but we'll see. For now, I'm keeping it.
Yeah, I like it. It's just, it's gotten straggly, so I need to bring it in. And this is the first time that he's going to style it in some way. I don't know what the hell he's going to do, but it's going to be fun.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Get a mortgage. Fremont Mortgage. Carl Delmont is here. If you want to see some soccer, you can do that, too. Somebody had to get in touch with you in regard to Celtic, too, if they have a young lady that wants to play for Celtic.
Yeah, we have between U8, so age up to all the way to U23s. You can find us at BaltimoreCeltic.com. You can register for free for trial, see the schedule.
Boys, too.
Boys and girls.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I said girls.
Boys and
my
girls. Harrisburg Heat, if you're interested in anything like that, it's HarrisburgHeat.com. And when it comes to Fremont, you need a mortgage, never an application fee, and we can give you a true pre-approval.
He'll still get you 2.5%. No, he won't. But
and a free complimentary home warranty on purchases. So that's Fremont, FreedMont.com. We have to say the D because competitors try to buy the name without the D. So we always emphasize the D. But Fremont.com.
There he is, Carl Delmont. We're up here at Greenmount Station for being our guest today. He's going to get a Betty Boop scratch off. From the Maryland Lottery, we're here on behalf of the lottery as well as our friends at Goodwill. About to sign some more sponsors for some wise conversations around here, bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out. You see, you showed up early, but you know how good the crab cakes are here.
Absolutely.
So I don't, you know, like, but you.
We're here quite often.
It's still too early for a crab cake. I'm not going to do that till later on in the show. Chris is going to be out here to participate. We're in Carroll County, Hampstead, Greenmount Station. Back for more. My thanks to Carl Delmont, our longtime friend and sponsor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.